You can hear all our candidate conversations at listen.sdpb.org. We've invited all the candidates of the 2018 South Dakota election to join us on In the Moment. Our conversations are roughly 10 minutes for each of them, and you can hear them online. And today we welcome Brett Reese. He's joining us from our Vermilion studios. Brett, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for being here with us. Tell us a little bit about your background, if you will, please.
Well, I was born and raised in Watertown, South Dakota. I graduated in 2016 from Watertown High School at the top of my class. While I was in high school, I was very active in speech and debate. By the time I graduated, I was ranked number 8 in the nation by the National Speech and Debate Association. Since graduating high school, I've worked at the Cottington County State's Attorney's Office, as well as Turbak Law Office, doing some work for both of those offices. And now I currently attend the University of South Dakota, majoring in political science and criminal justice with a theater minor.
And so give me an idea of why now. Why would you, you could wait till after you graduate from college. You could sort of think about this as something in your future, but you're not the first student who is, college student from the state who has decided to throw their hat in the ring. And now give us an idea of what's motivating you.
Well, I've always had an interest in politics, and that stems from my debate career in high school. And I was taking a class in 2017, in the fall of 2017, called South Dakota Government and Politics, where we had various legislative officials come in. We had Christy Noem come in, different elected officials from South Dakota come in and talk to us about the issues that South Dakota is facing. And just hearing those issues and having some conversations with some of those represented officials, I found myself disagreeing with some of them and thinking that we should maybe head in a different direction. And I firmly believe that youth deserve a voice at the table too, since they make decisions that impact our future as well. And I knew the age to run was 21, and here I am at the age of 21 running. I'm the youngest candidate running for office this election cycle. And what my main issues that I'm motivated about is based on my experience, education, criminal justice, and also government transparency and fighting corruption, like Stace just talked about.
All right, let's talk a little bit about that corruption. We'll start there, and then we'll move on to education. I'm sure you have some things in common with what Senator Nelson said and others in opposition. I don't want to align the two of you, but let's go ahead and talk about what are some of the problems as you see it with state corruption.
Well, we see that we're not always keeping track of where things are going, and therefore money gets put into the wrong hands sometimes, as the Gear Up and EB5 scandals show. And I truly, what part of the reason I ran is because the voters tried to fix it with corruption and, tried to pass initiating Measure 22. In fact, they did pass it. And the legislators, the next session, totally went against the will of the voters and repealed it. Not only did they repeal it, but they declared an emergency in doing so, which meant that the voters wouldn't get to have a referendum on their decision, which to me sent a clear message that they didn't trust the voters the first time, and they weren't going to trust them a second time to vote on it. And that's why we have Amendment W coming up this election, because the voters are again taking it in their own hands. And it just seems backwards that the voters are trying to convince their state officials to pass policies that decrease corruption in our state. And I firmly believe that, the people in Pierce should be representing their people, not special interests or their political parties. And that's why my motto is for the people, not the party.
Do you think that initiated Measure 22 should have gone on to, see its court challenges through? Because there were, the argument is there were, issues with it from an appropriations standpoint, for example. What do you think should have happened?
Well, what I think should have happened is they should have let the judicial branch do their job instead of, assuming the role of the judicial branch and deeming it unconstitutional themselves. I believe even a judge, when he stated that wasn't him saying it was unconstitutional, it was him saying that it should go up to the Supreme Court for them to decide. And so I think it should have been the court's responsibility. But even so, they could have repealed just part of IM-22 if they were really just concerned about the unconstitutionality of it. They could have repealed certain parts of it. Instead, they gutted the entire thing and claimed that they were going to replace it, but they have not fully replaced IM-22 as far as the constitutional provisions of it go.
All right, let's talk a little bit about education. What are some of your top concerns there?
Well, I'm concerned that South Dakota, with our education system, that we're not maintaining a competitive education compared to neighboring states. If you look at all the states that neighbor South Dakota, they're paying more per student, and they're also paying their teachers more. And that makes it really hard to keep students here in South Dakota and also teachers in South Dakota. It's hard to convince a teacher to stay here if she or he can move to Wyoming and get an automatic 15% income increase. And so it's making sure that we're remaining competitive in that aspect. We did pass a salary increase, but that only brought us to, I believe, 48th in the nation. So I think we can do better with that. And also recently in the legislature, I believe that we want to get as many kids to college as possible, whether it's tech school or it's a four-year institution, making sure in high school that kids can get ahead on their college education and save some money. And so I'm a very big proponent of the dual credit system. And recently it seems like the legislature has been trying to make it more expensive. And I think that would really disadvantage middle and lower income class families and getting their kids an opportunity to get ahead on their education, because we need to develop our workforce and going to college is part of that aspect. And so if we can find ways to make it easier to get kids into college and also leave college sooner, that's going to help our economy and that's going to help us grow as South Dakotans.
Let's talk a little bit about criminal justice reform, another top issue for you. What are the key points there?
Yeah, criminal justice is maybe, I mean, obviously that's what I'm studying in college, and that's what my work with the Cottington County State's Attorney's Office was for. One of my favorite aspects of that job was working with the drug court program and realizing the life-changing experiences that programs like that actually provide. According to the Department of Social Services, in fiscal year 2017, 87% of offenders in the penitentiary came in with chemical dependency issues. And so what we're battling here in South Dakota is a drug issue and addiction issue. And so we need to adapt our solutions to better tailor that. We spend, according to the Department of Corrections, about $22,000 a year per inmate if they're there for a year. And if we could better use those resources to fund these drug court programs, because those are the issues they're facing right now, is restrictions on funding and resources. If we could better allocate those taxpayer dollars to get them into a rehabilitative program that provide them the resources that they need in order to actually get better, then I think that's going to help us in the long run. It's going to decrease crime. It's going to make our communities safer. And it's also going to save taxpayer dollars. We're facing an overcrowding issue, and people seem to want to turn to the solution of building bigger facilities. But instead, I think we should be asking, why are facilities getting overcrowded? Is there a better cost-efficient way to use taxpayer dollars? And so that's why I'm going to be a big advocate for drug court programs, because I've seen how they work and I've seen the success that they bring to those that are participating.
Brett Reese is a Democrat. He's from District 5, and he is running for state representative. Brett, thank you so much for stopping by SDPB's Vermilion Studios to have this conversation today. We appreciate your time.
Yes, thank you for having me.